Father God, thank you that Rob is a person who knows and loves you. You know and love him. Thank you for the years, the decades of faithful service, of him waiting upon you, listening for you and to you, hearing you and speaking your words. I pray that you will help us to hear the words you're speaking to us today through Rob. Amen.
Thank you so much, Mike. It's a joy to be with you, and Pam sends her love as well. And it's particularly good to be sharing in the series you're doing at the moment, which is Who is Jesus? And the title for today is Who is Jesus, the Miracle Maker? And we want to see from Scripture how those miracles were signs confirming who Jesus really was as the Messiah, but also how they were an amazing pointer to what it means for us as followers of Jesus to be living naturally supernatural lives. What does that mean for us today? So we're going to begin by reading Scripture, and so when Jesus came to Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. She got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all who were ill. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. Just keep that verse up as we pray. Father, we pray now that you come by your Spirit. Spirit of truth, guide us into truth. We don't just want to be hearers of your word, but doers. We pray that what we share today will impact our lives, shape our living. Help us to understand what it means to live naturally supernatural lives as followers of Jesus for your glory. Amen. So Jesus, the miracle worker. And those miracles were signs, firstly, helping us to understand who Jesus was. And this scripture, in fact, it points to this here in this passage in Matthew's Gospel, that the miracles of Jesus, this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. So when Jesus performed those miracles, he was fulfilling what those Old Testament prophecies had spoken about the coming Messiah. This was confirmation that this was the Messiah, that Jesus was truly the Son of God. In fact, when John the Baptist, who was the kind of forerunner of Jesus, sent some of his disciples to ask, who are you really? Are you really the Son of God? And what Jesus said is to the disciples is, just look and see. The blind see, the lame walk. Tell John this, because these miracles were themselves confirmation of who he was. Jesus, the miracle worker. But it wasn't just the record of what Jesus did in those New Testament days, but also it was a glimpse of what Jesus intended for us as followers of Jesus. So when, for those first disciples, he sends them out two by two, he gives them power and authority to do exactly the same, to cast out demons, to heal the sick, the lame, the blind. And they come back to Jesus overwhelmed with such amazing stories of all that happened. What does it mean for us today to sense that supernatural dimension to our lives? One of the ways particularly I want to speak on this morning is how we see that is, I felt a kind of prophetic word for this year for us as church. And this is my first chance sharing it here at Highgrove. So I felt God saying this year of 2025 was going to be a new season of revelation, where God was going to reveal things to us which we could not naturally work out, but supernaturally he could reveal. Listen to these words from, in fact, Corinthians, where it speaks about this sense of revelation. How it is written that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived the things God has prepared for those who love him. So the things that God has prepared for every one of us here who loves Jesus, every one of us who follows Jesus, there are things God has prepared for us. But you can't see them with your eye, you can't hear them with your ear, you can't think about them or conceive them in your mind. Well, how are you going to know them? Listen. Next verse. Hopefully. Oh, right. There's no next verse. But it says, God has revealed them by his Spirit. So there are things that God has already prepared for us because we love him and his purpose for our lives. And yet we can't work it out ourselves. The only way we can know it is by God revealing to us by his Spirit. We're going to think a little bit of what that means for us today. Jesus, the miracle worker, those signs of him as the Messiah, the Son of God, but also pointers to us to be living naturally supernatural lives. When I was with you towards the end of last year, I shared with you a word that I particularly felt stirring for last year, and a kind of prophetic word then, and it was that God was saying, expect a fresh wave of my Spirit. And I explained to you a little bit of how during the year God had unfolded it, because how, when God reveals things to us prophetically, how do we apply it? How does it become part of our living? So that word for me was really significant. Every day of my life, I would pray that throughout last year, and I still pray it now. For those who are part regularly of Highgrove, I pray for you by name, in fact, every week. And one of the things I've prayed is a fresh wave of God's Spirit in prayer. In fact, I prayed that for many of you here last year. So during the year, and I shared a little bit of this, but I just want to bring it up to date today. So I felt about the middle of the year, God stirring in my heart a real burden for the next young generation. I can remember thinking to myself, goodness me, there's so many challenges that the young generation face today, of social media, of mental health issues, of here in Bristol, of knife culture, of drug culture, of all the challenges of online pressures. And I remember sort of saying to God, oh God, there's been generation X, generation Y, generation, and I felt God saying there's going to be a new generation, new beginning. And I really felt a kind of quickening. So I'm praying now every day for a fresh wave of God's Spirit to reach this next generation. And at that time, I think I told you, I heard from Bath. They just had a schools week there with a band called LZ7. And they had an amazing week in 5 schools. And at the end of the week, they brought them together at Bath Forum, 900 unchurched young people, 300 responded. 80 of them have just finished their Alpha course. In fact, just a few months ago, many of them got baptized. And I'm thinking, Lord, more of this. And I did feel, and have felt increasingly over this past year or so, that the tide is turning, particularly among a young generation. A young generation who's not brought up with Sunday school or any background, brought up in a secular world, but it's all new to them. In fact, I don't know if you've seen in the main national newspapers, the Times newspaper, others these last few weeks have been saying that their survey showed that, in fact, in these last 2 years, there have been 87% more Bibles sold than any previous time, and the majority has been to young people. And there is an amazing sense today of a fresh stirring. So I'm praying now for this, and I think I told you the story of how at Woodlands, I contacted the Alpha office in London and asked them a bit about the Youth Alpha. And they told me they were doing a new Youth Alpha course, and it was starting on January 25. And I asked them lots of questions about it, and how many Youth Alpha courses were they hoping to do in the UK and in this year. And they said, oh, we're trying to think we might do as many as 3,000. Well, my heart has always been for the Bristol region. That's Old Avon. That's 1 million people. So 3,000 across the country with 60 million, that means 50 of them in this Bristol region. Now, that's more than twice as ever been in previous years. So I'm now praying every day, fresh wave of your Spirit, Lord, to reach a new young generation. Those 1 million people, of those 1 million people, there most likely 100,000 unchurched young people, of which, you know, even to have a ripple effect among a group, you need at least 5%. So 5% of 100,000 would be 5,000. So I'm praying specifically 5,000 unchurched young people. And I think that was as far as I got last time when I was telling you the story. I think I did tell you the story also about the band leader arriving in the crypt when the team came down from London and how we had a conversation. Here with me, every day I've been praying a fresh wave of God's Spirit reach 5,000 young people. And I'm speaking to this band leader, and he says, I'm on my way across to Bath to follow up on the outreach we did there. And in fact, he said, I'm going to this other place just outside of Bristol. I said, oh, where are you going? He said, I'm going to the Wave. Ooh, I said. I said, why are you going there? Now, for those who don't know The Wave, it's this iconic venue just outside of Bristol, as you go down to Compton, east of Compton, etc. And I knew it really well because our grandson is a medic at Manchester University, and he's president of the Surfing Society. So whenever he comes to Bristol, he always goes to The Wave before he comes to see us. In fact, he stayed with us for 2 months working in the kitchen at The Wave and getting free surfing. And so I've been up and down there so often because his bike had a puncture or he couldn't take his surfboard on the bike. And I knew it really well. I said, why are you going to The Wave? Oh, he said, I've just met the owner of The Wave in Bath, he said. And He was asking about what we're doing. I told him about the school's work, and he's really interested. Now, he said, we as a band always have done the big church day out, but they changed the date of it for 2025. And so we're about to go and discuss the possibility of having a festival, a Christian festival, at the Wave for 5,000 unchurched young people. Ooh, I said, really? No, I think that's as far as I got last time. So since then, one of the great things about the prophetic, scripture itself says, one of the ways you test prophecy is to see whether it really happens. So since then, we've met with that band and the band leaders and negotiated. And they're coming here to Bristol. They'll be here in October, in fact, across five schools, across the city, maybe even more than that. The goal is 5,000 unchurched young people. And already we've been encouraging lots of High Grow is part of Youth Alphas to be happening. In fact, we want to try and track how it was doing for this year. So in last month and the month before, January and February, I tried to get from the Alpha office how many. They said, well, we can't easily just track what is about. I said, why don't you just do a filter on the BS code and the BA code. Together they cover the Old Avon. Oh, they did. So we did it. And in fact, this year, in January and February, there have been twice as many youth alphas as ever before. And already we're well on the way to see those 50 plus across the Bristol region. So it's happening. And there is a fresh wave of God's Spirit. And so for this year, when I felt God stirring, and I'll tell you a little bit how that came about, I felt God stirring, this was going to be a new season of revelation. The things that I cannot see, ear cannot hear, the mind cannot conceive, but God has prepared it for those who love him, but he wants to reveal it to us by his Spirit. One of the things that stirred me for that at the beginning of the year was, in fact, from the Christmas story, in fact, that amazing story of Simeon, this old man who'd been waiting for the fulfillment of God's promises from the Old Testament. And it's an amazing moment. In Luke 2, there's three verses there, verse 25, 26, 27. They're full of the work of the Holy Spirit. It says, Simeon, this old man, the Holy Spirit was upon him. And the next verse, in verse 26, says, and then the Holy Spirit revealed him, that revelation, that he would not die until his eyes saw the Messiah. Now, this is an amazing promise. And it's an amazing example of the prophetic where what often happens is the prophetic, it'll take deposited word of scripture and make it a now word into a particular situation or life. So those Old Testament scriptures, there were hundreds of them that spoke that one day the Messiah was going to come and even told you the place he was going to be born in Bethlehem. We sing about it in the Messiah, often other ways of all those amazing prophecies, but they covered centuries, people looking for him. But then there comes a moment in time for this old man, Simeon, where God says to him, Simeon, you're not going to die until you actually see the Messiah. The Holy Spirit revealed this to him. And then the next verse, verse 27, the Holy Spirit now moved him. He responded to that word. He actually took it literally as if he's, and so he's now expectant. And the Holy Spirit moves him to go into the temple. And that very day he gets up and he goes into the temple. And that moment as he goes into the temple, Joseph and Mary come in carrying the baby. And as he sees the baby, he knows this is the one. So it's an amazing example of where God uses revelation into a particular person's life at a particular time to reveal his purposes. For all of us, God has plans and purposes for our life. That's what it says. Eye hasn't seen, ear has not heard, the mind has not conceived. What God has prepared for those that love him, for every one of us here who is a follower of Jesus, God has prepared things for your life. But for many of those things, the only way you're going to understand them or see them is by revelation. The Holy Spirit revealing to us. So it's how far are we open to that revelation? What does it mean to be that inner prompting of God's Spirit, revealing that sense of his purpose for our life? Now, for Simeon, remember, over all those centuries, those hundreds of prophecies that the Messiah has come, and then suddenly at this moment in time, he's to be part of the fulfillment of that prophecy. But you know, there are equally those Old Testament prophecies that speak about the second coming of Jesus, that's yet to happen, and for us to be part of it. What would it be today if suddenly God revealed to you, to me, Rob, you're not going to die until Jesus comes again? Boy, I tell you, that's going to shape your life, isn't it? That's going to shape what you do with the rest of your life. I think I've told you before, every day of my life when I wake up, every morning, the children used to tease me when I was younger, when they were younger, I draw the curtains back. The first thing I do every morning is say, is it today, Lord? Is it today? Why? Because somehow to live your life in the light of his coming shapes what you do, your priorities. God has plans and purposes for your life. Not just for your job, your career, your family, your house you should live in, or what you should be doing, but God wants to reveal also that you might know him better. There's this amazing verse in Ephesians. It's one of those great prayers that Paul keeps praying. He says, I keep on praying this for you. And I've prayed this year for many of you here. He says, I keep praying that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you might know him better. Who is Jesus, the miracle worker? What does it mean for us to naturally live that supernatural life expectancy where what we could not naturally work out, God supernaturally reveals? You see, prayer is not us just telling God our plans and asking him to bless them. Prayer is God revealing to us his plans and through prayer releasing those purposes in our life. Now, here today, I don't just want to talk about it. I want to sense here today, what would it mean for us today to sense a fresh touch of God's Holy Spirit stirring in us an expectancy that God wants to reveal to us his purposes, that he wants us to know him better. And it's only when we're open to the Holy Spirit that can happen. So as we close, we're going to sing an old song. I sang it last time. I felt particularly God stirring the words of this song. It's Spirit of Living God, Fall Afresh on Me. I get the worship group up, and as we sing it through, I'm going to then pray. In fact, the words of this song are a prayer. Spirit of Living God, fall afresh on me. If today you're open for the Holy Spirit to fall afresh on you, that fresh touch of God's Spirit, for God to be revealing to you in a supernatural way his unfolding purposes for your life, Jesus, the miracle worker, seeking to reveal his purposes today through us. Then what I'm going to do is, I'm not just like, this is a closing hymn, all stand. I don't want you all to stand because it's a closing song, but I do want you all to stand. If today you're open, just for that fresh touch of God's Spirit on your life, just at least to be open to expect, Lord, for you to reveal your purposes for my life, that I might know you better, Lord, then as we begin to sing it, stand to your feet. Okay, and I'm going to pray for you. I'm already standing, so I want that fresh touch of God's Spirit. So let's just stand. If this morning you're open to that fresh touch of God's Spirit, that fresh revelation.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Mold me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God,
sing it through again in a moment, but I just want to pray now for each of us. Just be open, ready to receive. If for any reason you can't stand, then just where you are sat, open your hands, ready to receive. And if you are standing also, just open your hands, ready to receive. I'm going to pray now for God's Holy Spirit to come afresh, to fill us to overflowing, to give that fresh revelation of his purposes in our lives. Come now, Lord, by your Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. For each of us in your presence this morning, fill us afresh. Fill us to overflowing, Lord, from deep within those springs of living water welling up inside, Lord. Lord, we ask today for that new season of revelation in our life. Come, Lord, by your Spirit. Reveal those things that you've prepared for us, Lord. May we sense this week a new spirit of revelation in our life. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us afresh in Jesus' name.